Greetings, this is Berea and No Truth Now. I'm smiling because I pulled another from the archives, and this is another one from Mr. William A. Rodriguez at Praise Center Church, Denver, Colorado. Now, this one's called The Water That Cleanses. And I have to say, this gentleman is, I looked up last night, he is still preaching in the same spot. They have it looks like a beautiful church. May the Lord bless them and keep him for his faithfulness. I don't know what he's doing now, but I'm going to look into it. And I suggest you do it too. Now, this one I like a whole bunch. I could see why I got it. And it's fun that he mentions, for those of you who listen on cassette. So I'm going to edit out the flip. I'll try to, but you're going to know where it's at because that area gets cut. So some of his words get cut. That's just the way the technology was back in the day. However, I hope you enjoy this. When you hear something like this, be clean or die. Like, you know, I've listened to this before. I wanted to post it up to you. And I'm like, gosh, I could see why I like this. You know, he really brought it. And we are without excuse. That's all I could think of is, Lord, have mercy on us because we are without excuse. There have been preachers that have been preaching repentance and cleansing and sanctification and redemption and the things that matter. Now we just need to know the practical aspects of it. Like that in your house needs to go. And you need to confess and repent of that and let the cleansing happen. But he covers this. He covers some of it. He doesn't cover the practical applications of what that looks like in your life. I'm going to try to help with that. So without further ado, and thank you to Lifeway for the lead-in, lead-out music, Lifeway Uganda, I love you people. Here is Mr. William Rodriguez. Oh, and I wanted to add, his website is in his description of this podcast. Hope you enjoy him.
I am going to read, for those of you that are listening by means of cassette, out of Exodus chapter 30, verse 17. Listen carefully. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt also make a laver of brass. Now watch this carefully. And his foot, or the foot of the laver, also of brass, to wash withal. The foot of the laver to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. And thou shalt put water therein, for Aaron and his sons, that's the priesthood, shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. And when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not. Think about that. That they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burnt offering made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. You may be seated, ushers. But I want you to look over John chapter 13 real quick. Go all the way to the New Testament. Keep your finger in Exodus, but go all the way to John chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Now catch a hold of this. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Now, I want to use both of these scriptures from the Old Testament and from the New Testament to talk about the water. Now, I want you to understand that the figure of water is universally familiar, and it represents one of the most important and necessary elements in the physical universe. Water. You can't live without it. Amen? As a matter of fact, we find water in the vast ocean that makes up 3/4 of our earth. It comprises the largest part of Earth's surface, the water. And we find water in the inland lakes and rivers, which form what you would call exquisite networks, the lakes and the rivers. Networks that are both beautiful and networks of convenience and of commercial value, the lakes and the rivers of our nation. We also find water in the vapor of the skies, like we did this morning, in the dews that gather about the vegetable creation. The dew that gathers late at night or early in the morning upon the vegetables, preserving the vegetables from withering through the heat of summer. We find water there. We also find water forming the largest proportionate part of our own bodies. How many knows that the largest part of our body is water? Come on, shout amen. And also everything that we call solid and substantial in the world, most of it is made up of water. Water is a figure of purity. Water is a figure of refreshing. Water is a figure of the quickening life. Amen? Water is also a figure of power and of vastness and of abundance. As a matter of fact, without water, life could not be for a single moment maintained. You can go without food for several days, possibly even weeks, but you cannot go without water very long. Come on, shout amen. And so, as we look at the Bible, we find water in the Bible as one of the most important symbols of spiritual things. Let me talk about spiritual things for just a moment. Because way back in the Garden of Eden, we find 4 rivers. And you need to read about it and study these rivers, because these 4 rivers watered the Garden of Eden. And these 4 rivers were, without any doubt whatsoever, types of the grace with which mankind was to be supplied with God's grace. They were types of God's grace. And so we find water in the Garden of Eden, in the river form. And then we find water again in the preservation of the life of a little woman by the name of Hagar and her son. You remember her? Amen? Little Hagar was a castaway. She was cast out from Abraham's family at one time, but she was supplied water in the midst of a desert by the agency of an angel. And then we find water when Moses was striking the rock, and water gushed out from the rock. Can I hear an amen? And that water was for the children of Israel. And in that particular scene in the Bible, we see the children of Israel gathering around the water. Is that right? And when they gathered around the water, they were singing songs of joy and songs of gladness. And so the water to the people of Israel becomes the source of supply in all of their wandering. When they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, they needed water. Amen. And then we find that water appears in the ministry of Elisha and Elijah. We also find that water in the Old Testament brought healing to Naaman the leper. And water also saved an entire army, Jehoshaphat's army, from destruction. God said, I want you to dig ditches, and after you dig many ditches, it's going to rain, and the ditches will be supplied with water for your army and for your animals. Can I hear an amen? Now we also find water in Ezekiel's vision. Ezekiel's vision, we have what you call the fountain of water, where the filthy wash and they become clean from their idolatries and the vices which flowed from the temple of God at that particular time, in Ezekiel's vision. And then we find the prophet Zechariah. And Zechariah, and you can look this up in chapter 13, verse 1, tells us that there is a fountain open for the people of Israel for their sin and uncleanness, and it is a fountain of water. Now think about this. Now, when we get over into the New Testament, we first of all confront water in John's baptism. John's baptism was a symbol by which the Lord's reign on this earth was ushered in at that particular time, and then Christ carries that figure farther on after his baptism to imply not only repentance for the people of God, but also regeneration and sanctification. And so water is symbolic not only of repentance, baptism, but it's also symbolic of regeneration and sanctification. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And when Jesus sat down in Samaria and talked to the woman of Samaria, he gave water an exquisite expression. And then also in the service that he had in Cana in the Feast of Tabernacles, what did he do? Jesus used the vessels with which men poured out the water, and he used those vessels as symbols of the water which he would give to those that would call on him, even rivers of living waters. And he said that these rivers of living waters would flow forth from those that believe. I don't know about you, but I want to be a believer. I believe that it's time for the church to have rivers of water, cleansing power that flows from its innermost being. Come on, shout praise God. And then we find water also at the cross. Because the Bible says in John chapter 19, verse 34, that from the pierced side in the body of Jesus came forth a stream of blood and water. For what? For the healing of the nations. For the healing of the nations. Aren't you glad Jesus already carried your sickness? He already carried all of your diseases and infirmities. He carried all that troubles you today, both physically and emotionally and mentally. Jesus already carried it all. Now, the epistles in the New Testament are also filled with the figure of water. Over and over again, you read of the cleansing and the purity which comes from the water in order to bring us that cleansing and that purity that we need. And then even over in Revelation, the apocalypse, water appears in the vision of the finished work of redemption, and it is called the river of the water of life. And so the whole volume of the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation closes with this beautiful, exquisite passage that points back to all of the preceding figures of water that we just talked about. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, it says, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And so wherever you look in the Bible from the beginning to the end, you find water as a figure of cleansing. Amen. But now, let's talk about this laver. Let's talk about this basin. Let's talk about this particular piece of furniture in the tabernacle that held water. This particular laver stands in the center of one of the most far-reaching of all the figures of the Holy Scriptures in the Word of God. In the midst of the tabernacle, the whole Levitical ceremony that was going on in that tabernacle made various uses of water. The whole priesthood ceremonies. How many know you are a priest unto God today? I want you to get this from the beginning, because the priesthood used water for various uses in ceremonial expressions. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Exodus that the priesthood had to be set apart by cleansing. Now, if you're a part of the priesthood of God, there is a cleansing that has to come into your life if you're going to receive something from God. You see, a lot of us have gone to the altar of burnt offering, and we've sacrificed our life, and we said, Lord, I give you my hurts, my habits, and my hang-ups, but then we don't go over to the laver area, listen to me, and wash and cleanse ourselves and prepare ourselves for service for Jesus Christ. And then we wonder why God doesn't use us. You've got to be clean in order to be used. The priesthood had to be clean. They had to be set apart by the cleansing of the water. As a matter of fact, not only the priesthood, but the leper. The Bible says in Leviticus that the leper had to wash himself with water, and then he had to shave himself, and he had to be sprinkled with blood, and then anointed with oil. Think about that. And then, of course, in the Old Testament days, they also had what you would call the water of separation. And this water of separation was water with which those who had touched the dead or a dead body had to be cleansed before they entered the tabernacle. There was a cleansing that needed to be taken place if you were around any dead folks. And some of you, the reason why you can't receive anything from God is because you haven't gone to the washing place, the laver, the cleansing place, and you've been hanging around dead folks. Then you wonder why God can't do anything for you. This laver or this basin was actually the second article of furniture in the tabernacle. And it was formed out of the brazen mirrors. Now this is going to surprise some of you women, but I'll give you scripture for it. In Exodus chapter 38, you need to look this up, verse 8. I'm going to tell you what this laver was made of. This laver was formed or made or created out of brazen mirrors that they took from the women of Israel. The Bible calls it in the King James Version, looking glasses. Mirrors. Come on, shout amen. And these women of Israel had brought these looking glasses or these mirrors from the land of Egypt when they came out of bondage. And perhaps they brought these mirrors with excusable vanity. I don't know. Perhaps they brought these mirrors without realizing that these belonged to their old life of bondage. So what does God take? God takes your past experiences and your past hurts. He takes your mirrors of vanity and he makes something that is going to cause you to want to be clean. Come on, shout hallelujah. That's what God does with our old life. That's what God does with our old lifestyle. He uses it in order to make you see the importance of your cleanliness before God. And when the Lord got these women and these men of Israel over into the wilderness for 40 years, I believe that gently he drew from these women these memorials of their old lifestyle. These mirrors, these looking glasses, and he drew these from them and he consecrated them to a higher purpose. And so he used them for materials for the laver that would hold the water that would cleanse them. First of all, these mirrors or these brazen materials were melted and then they were cast into this big basin. It was probably about 4 feet above the ground. The Bible says that it has a foot on the bottom, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. I don't know how round it may have been, maybe 3-4 feet in diameter. I'm not sure. The Bible is not really specific on this. Some people just speculate about the size of this laver. But nevertheless, the mirrors of the women of Israel were melted, and they were molded into this basin, and perhaps 4 or 5 feet high. There were also a number of faucets at the bottom of this laver that opened up below the laver, falling into a receptacle that received the water. And so when we read of the laver with its foot, or the Bible says his foot, no doubt that when you read that in Exodus chapter 30, there were basins underneath the laver which the wastewater could possibly fall into. Because there were faucets underneath the laver. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. Now, this particular laver consisted of three parts. Three parts. First of all, it was a mirror. A mirror itself. A mirror that was polished. Now, I want you to get a picture of this, ladies. from all of the women's old memories of Egypt, God made a mirror. And this mirror, this laver, this basin, this bowl that held the water was polished. These mirrors, these looking glasses were polished so finely, so precisely, that the priest himself could see his face in the brazen exterior of this bowl, of this laver. It was a looking glass. A looking glass into which the priest could see and not see their beauty, but where they can see their blemishes. Come on, shout praise God. Today we use mirrors to look at our beauty. Even us men, come on, be honest. Praise God. But back then, this laver, this polished mirrors were used not to see the beauty of the priest, but to see their blemishes. And I'm here to tell you, when was the last time you spent some time before the laver of God and saw your blemishes? When was the last time you really took a good look at what you really looked like before the face of God? Come on, shout amen. And then it was also a fountain of water for the cleansing of the blemishes upon the priesthood. And above that, it also had receptacles or basins at the foot of the basin where the people, where the priests could come and be cleansed when they saw their defilement on the laver. I read that the position of this laver was just beyond, not too far from the altar of burnt offering or the altar of offering. And this laver was to be used by the priest alone. Nobody else could use this wash bowl except the priesthood. Can I hear an amen? Those of you that are saved and spirit-filled and you're a priesthood unto God, you ought to be shouting right now. Nobody else could use this wash basin. Nobody else could use this laver filled with the cleansing water except the priesthood alone. And it was to be used, listen to this, always used by the priesthood before they entered the holy place. You know, a lot of us want to enter into the place of worship and into the place of really seeing the face of God, but we don't want to take time to cleanse ourselves from all of the blemishes of life before we enter into it. Can I hear an amen? Come on, shout hallelujah. And so, before they entered the holy place, the priesthood was commanded to go by the laver and clean up their blemishes. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the priesthood was not permitted to go into God's presence with a spot or stain upon them, or they die. Oh, Denver would be a big cemetery. Most churches would be big cemeteries, worse than they already are, if this law was still in effect. Come on, shout amen.
Wow.
And neither, listen to this, they had to do this. They had to cleanse themselves of the blemishes before they could go in and offer service in the holy place. You could not even go to the altar of burnt offerings or to the table of showbread or to the candlestick lamps until you cleansed yourself of every blemish and every stain in your body. Now you think about this. We have it reversed. We want to come in all stained and ugly and spotted up and enter into the worship of God and offer Him worship. We cannot do that because we're full of blemishes and stains and spots, and we need to take a trip over to the laver section. Come on, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Neither could the priest go to the brazen altar. Now you watch this. This altar stood right in the beginning entrance place of the tabernacle, and the priest could not go to the brazen altar of burnt offerings with their offerings until they had washed in the laver. You see how important it is for those of us that claim to be Christians to live a life of cleanliness and holiness before God? You see how critical it is for those of us that claim to be priests or priesthood of God or of Christ to live a clean, sanctified, set-apart life for God? You see how important it is? They couldn't even offer burnt offerings on behalf of the sins of the people or on their own behalf until they first washed. Praise God. And so now you have a picture of the laver. But let's find out what this means for you and I tonight. The materials first of all, out of which this laver was made, and it talks about a mirror. And I want you to see the materials of this laver as a mirror reflecting the defilement upon the garments of the priesthood or the priest. And when you see this, the first lesson that we get is that God, through Jesus Christ, has provided for us in His Word and by the Holy Spirit of God, the influences for our life, which we are to discover in the Word and by the Holy Spirit, our uncleanness. God has already provided that mirror, and that mirror is the Word of God. If you want to know how to be clean before God, read your Bible. A lot of folks are just living what I call a half-stepping Christian life. We are no priesthood at all because we are not clean according to the Word of God. We just claim to be church members. Nowhere does the Bible talk about church member. It talks about those that are a part of the body of Christ. And those that are a part of the body of Christ, listen to me, are a part of the priesthood of God. And the priesthood of God is a priesthood that is clean. A priesthood that is sanctified and set apart. And then we wonder why God doesn't heal our diseases. And He doesn't heal our infirmities. And He doesn't seem to heal any of our concerns. How in the world can God allow you and I into the holy place where the Shekinah glory of God started to shine from the most holy place if you and I are not able to go to the laver of cleansing and allow God to wash away our sins? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! That laver was a mirror. That mirror represents the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit and how He has influence over our lives in order to cause us to discover our uncleanness and our defilement. And ladies and gentlemen, we must never forget that this is a very large part of the function of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's job to show you and me our uncleanness. Amen? As a matter of fact, a scripture is given for doctrine, the Bible says. All scripture is given for doctrine. That means teaching. But also it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, but also for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What does that say? God expects us to go to Him so that He, through the Holy Spirit, may reveal our shortcomings, so that He, through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, may reveal our blemishes. Amen? And we should be glad to see them. A lot of folks don't want to admit their blemishes. A lot of people like to use lots of makeup to hide their blemishes. Now, come on, I'm talking spiritually here now. Come on, that's why we put our mask on when we come to church. We don't want anybody to see our spots and our stains. We want everybody to think we're clean and sanctified and holy and close to God. But aren't you glad that God allows us through the Word of God and through the influence of the Holy Spirit to see our blemishes, and we ought to be glad to see them, even if it means being painful at times to see those blemishes. Because the Holy Ghost of God is a gentle reprover. Can I hear an amen? And He gives us quickly the sense of evil in our spirits. Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit that He allows you the sense of smell of the stench that is all around you? The power of the Holy Spirit allows you to smell your own life and know that your life is not right because you stink at times. That's what the Holy Spirit does, and we ought to be glad about it. Don't get mad when the Holy Spirit shows you your stains and your blemish. Go into that tabernacle and get next to that laver and wash yourself as the priesthood of God, and then enter the holy place and offer your spiritual worship. Hallelujah. And I want you to see something else. Let's take God's mirror to show us where we fail. I believe that God's mirror, the Word of God, can help us to understand where we have failed God. Because I don't know about you, but I've failed God a whole lot. And if you think you don't, you're lying to yourself. Amen. I believe that we need to stop being so encased in the idea that we are infallible. We are not. And the idea that we are unreprovable. We are not. And the idea that we shall not fail. We will fail. Come on, shout praise God. And I want you to be glad tonight, not that you make mistakes, but that the mistakes that you make have shown you something about yourself in which you can be made stronger. That's what I want you to be glad in. And the fact that your mistakes have shown you an area where you can be made stronger so that you can overcome the mistakes in your life. And we need to thank God for this polished mirror. The psalmist says in Psalm 19, the last part of verse 12 and all of verse 13. Let me read it to you. Cleanse thou me. He's talking to God. He says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. For many years, I prayed this prayer every morning that I woke up until the cleansing took place. Listen to this prayer. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them, what? The presumptuous sins, let them not have dominion over me. Now, if you don't know what a presumptuous sin is, a presumptuous sin is something that you think of. Sins of the mind. We all have them, don't we? Come on, don't sit there and look so sanctified. I see spots all over the place here. I see blemishes just talking to me all over this place. Come on, shout amen. Don't turn away from the Bible, because the Bible throws a reproving light on your soul and shows you your blemish. Don't shrink away from prayer, because when you pray, it gives you a sense of an unworthiness and a guilt. But in the midst of your Bible reading and your prayer, remember the laver. Thank God for His cleansing power. Can I hear an amen? That laver will show you the sin. And that laver that shows you the sin, that mirror that reflects back the blemishes, is the same fountain which will wash away your stains.
That technological cassette flip here, I hope this is making your hashtag PC4J, your personal consecration for Jesus, I hope it ignites you and makes you want to seek Him more. In Jesus' name.
God. And then I want you to turn one more time to this view of the laver as a mirror. And from this mirror, or this laver as a mirror, I want you to also see the fountain of cleansing inside this laver. Water in the scriptures is the chief symbol of the Holy Spirit. The chief symbol. Anywhere you read about water in the Word of God, you find water as the chief symbol of the Holy Spirit. Now, last Friday, we talked about blood. Blood tells us of the lamb, but water tells us of the dove. Can I hear an amen? And I'm here to tell you that God has sent one special person. Y'all know who I'm talking about. And His business is to make us clean. Come on, shout praise God. There are a lot of folks that think that the business of the Holy Spirit is to give you power and joy. That comes later. That's a benefit. But the business of the Holy Spirit is to make us clean. Can I hear an amen, somebody? I said the business of the Holy Spirit is to cleanse us and to purify us and to keep us spotless under His unsullied wing. And to this work, God has given to you and I a divine person. And this divine person is the infinite and almighty Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. One filled with all of the possible resources for this work of cleansing. You see, you cannot cleanse yourself. The more you try, the more stained you become. You need the one whose business is to clean. Come on, shout praise God. I don't know about you, but I've attempted several times to clean stains from my shirts, and my wife has attempted to do it, and even shouted out won't do it. And we've had to take it to an expert. His business or her business is simply to remove stains. And see, that's the way we are with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's business is to clean stains. And we've got to look to him. He's got the power. He has been sent. He has been commissioned to fulfill the blessed redemption work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And how precious it is to know that this person, the Holy Spirit, is not away up somewhere in heaven, but he's present right in your heart. He's ready to stoop down to your uncleanness, and he's ready to enter into your foul heart if need be. Can I hear an amen? And he'll not only enter into your foul heart, but he'll stay there until there's not one spot left. And by the time the Holy Spirit of God gets finished with you at the altar of cleansing, you're going to walk up and get up and say, wow, I don't even feel sick anymore. Ain't got no more frustration. Ain't got no more stress. Ain't got no more migraine headaches. Ain't got no more anger or resentment or bitterness. Why? Because when the Holy Spirit cleanses you, all of that is taken care of. Come on, shout praise God. We got a friend in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now I want you to notice, Jesus stooped down at the feet of Peter, and he washed those feet with his own hands. We read that in John chapter 13. The Holy Ghost is God's purifying messenger to you and I. Some of you say, do I need the Holy Ghost in my life? Oh, yes, you do. Or you're going to walk around all stained up. Oh, yes, you need the Holy Ghost in your life. The Holy Ghost is God's purifying messenger to you and me. The Holy Ghost is the one that brings the water and the fire that will make you and I white as snow. We need to receive him. Come on, shout amen. Not only receive him, but we need to obey him. Amen. Come on, shout hallelujah. We need to obey and receive the Holy Spirit. And we need to come to him without any excuses of failure. And we need to say, Holy Spirit, cleanse me. Touch my life. And then once again, and I'm going to bring it to a conclusion in just a little bit, the figure of water stands not only for the Holy Ghost, but also for the Word of God. Now you listen to me, folks, because some of you very rarely read your Bible. And if you don't read it much, you ain't never going to study it. There's a difference between reading and studying your Bible. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Now I want you to see this, and I want you to bear with me, because the figure of water in the Bible also stands for the Word of God, through which usually the Spirit of God works. I don't know the mind of God unless I read the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. And I cannot have the mind of Christ or the mind of God if I don't read the Word of God. And there are a lot of folks that go around wondering why things don't work out for you. You need to get the mind of God. And in order to get the mind of God, whether it be in your finances or whether it be in decision making, I don't care what kind of decisions you need to make in life, you need the mind of God. And in order to get the mind of God, you need to get into the Word of God. It is that Word of God where we find that it is employed to work on our behalf. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, it says that he might cleanse the church by the washing of water by the Word. By the washing of water by the Word. By the Word, the Bible. And then in John 15, verse 3, the Bible says, now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Christ's Word, the Bible, is the cleansing stream of the Holy Spirit. You can't, don't dare tell me you're full of the Holy Ghost and cleansed by the Holy Spirit if you don't study and read and keep and apply the Bible to your life. It doesn't work that way. John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them, Jesus prayed, through truth. Thy word is truth. Say it with me. Thy word is truth. And so it first shows us our impurity. The Word of God will show you how impure you really are. And then it shows us God's law. And then it shows us Christ's commandments. You see, the Sermon on the Mount gave us thousands of directions for the Christian and his duty. and it shows us where we fall short in these commandments of Christ Jesus. They show the path of purity when you read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. You need to read it sometime. But that is not the best. They also give the promise of cleansing. And through the promise of cleansing, we are enabled to receive and to retain His sanctifying grace. Listen to me. When you receive and retain, hold on to the sanctifying grace of God, I'll guarantee you, very rarely will you ever get physically sick. Come on, shout amen. Very rarely. Oh, very, you may catch a little sniffle once in a while, but that devourer that comes to devour you with cancers and diseases and all kinds of destructive illnesses will not be able to touch you when you retain the sanctifying power of God. You'll be able to pray down a healing on your body. Come on, shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, you're getting quiet now. I better quit talking about that because we got some sick folk here tonight. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Look this up. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, I don't need to explain that. Read it. And if you're an intelligent person, you'll understand what that's telling you. Having therefore these promises. What promises? One of the promises in the Word of God is that God wants you well. He wants you blessed. He wants you feeling good. He wants you happy. He wants you joyful. Having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. See, the promises are not automatic simply because you come to the altar of burnt offering. There is a cleansing that has to take place between you and God. The Holy Spirit has got to come in and purify you. The Word of God has come to have to come alive and be quickened inside of you in order for these promises to be activated in your life and on your behalf. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. See, some of us got so much filthiness in our spirit that the Holy Spirit can't do anything with you. If the Holy Spirit can't move into your human spirit because your human spirit is so filled with filthiness, then listen to me. Don't blame God for your problems. Your problem is that you're afraid to release all the filthiness out of your human spirit and make room for the Holy Spirit. You know, the problem most of us is, not that we don't want the promises and not that we don't want God to heal and God to save and cleanse us. The problem with most of us, we don't want to get rid of our filthiness. We love living in sin. We love doing things we ought not to be doing with one another. Ooh, it's getting quiet now. I won't go into that. And so Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It all talks about cleansing, doesn't it? Do you find any lack of purity in your life? If you do, then take his promise and claim it. What more can you want than this? 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. If any man sin, Brother Israel quoted this tonight, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Right there, mark it down as the remedy for any defilement or spot or stain in your life. And then in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, everybody's favorite. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yeah. So if you have some sin that is troubling you here tonight, bring it into the light. Bring it into the Word of God. Hand it over to the Holy Spirit for execution. Come on, shout praise God. Because if you do, the Bible says He is faithful and just. He will pardon you. And having pardoned you, then he will go to work on you and clean you up. I don't know about you, but I love fine automobiles. I'll have to admit it. Are you hearing me? but I don't like a dirty, fine automobile. If I'm going to drive a fine automobile, I want it clean. Come on, shout praise God. Even polished. Engine, undercarriage, everywhere. I want it clean. I want somebody to look at that vehicle and say, whoa, how do you keep it so clean? Wouldn't that be nice for people to come up to you and say, man, I don't know how you do it, but nothing seems to trouble you. You always seem to be cheerful and joyful and happy. How in the world do you keep your countenance with a smile and a glow all over its face? Man, I don't know how you do it. You need to stand up and say, it is not I, but it is Christ. I've been cleansed, and every day I am washed and cleansed by the Word and the Holy Spirit. Come on, shout amen, someone. Oh, you give everything to the Holy Spirit, He'll execute it. And He'll put it out of existence. And that sin and filthiness will no longer dominate you. He will cleanse you. The Holy Spirit will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so what I'm trying to tell you tonight is that the Word of God is our laver. It is the ever-efficient agent in the hands of the Holy Ghost. Oh, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, this Word of God is an efficient agent. See, but you can't even understand the Word of God without the Holy Spirit in your life. You need the Holy Spirit. Can I hear an amen? I said we need the Holy Spirit. And so what the cleansing right here is typifying, first of all, it typifies regeneration. This cleansing gives us a new nature. It gives us a new heart. How many know we could all use a new heart? And that new heart and that new nature come to us after we trust Jesus as our Savior. After we come into the tabernacle, to the altar of blood or sacrifice, and we leave our sins there. Then, after the sacrifice, then the Holy Spirit puts into us a new life and a new spirit. And you see, that's the first step. That's regeneration. It is the washing of regeneration. But there's a more complete washing that the Holy Spirit has for every one of us. That's what I want to take place here tonight. I want this more complete washing. And this complete washing is called the sanctifying grace of Jesus Christ. It goes a step beyond salvation. It goes a step beyond regeneration. And some of us are over at regeneration, but we've never gotten into sanctification. I'm talking about the sanctifying grace of God. This is the complete an entire dedication of your whole being to God. That's what this sanctification means. You completely and entirely dedicate your whole being to God. And because of that, you become His. You no longer belong to yourself. And you belong to Him alone. Not to two or three others. He becomes yours. And when He becomes yours, He fills you with His own nature. And now you are a partaker not only of the great and precious promises, but of the very divine nature of Almighty God, because He fills you. Come on, are you still following me? And He takes possession of your desires. The problem with most of us today in all of our hurts and habits and hangups is that we have not allowed God to take possession of all of our desires. But when God comes in, and He becomes alone your only desire, then He takes possession of your desires. He takes possession of your will and your affections, and all of the faculties and the powers of your being become His, and He dominates you. And He lives through you, and He walks through you, and the powers of darkness no longer control you. Come on, shout amen. But you are controlled by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit of God. The indwelling Christ through the Spirit lives in your heart. And so it's not merely that you go to church and get a new heart and then you go out and struggle with 1,000 elements of evil. That's not what it's about. Because you're going to struggle with thousands of elements of evil. But it's more than that. It's being completely sold out, dominated and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. That means that your whole spirit and your soul and your body, all of you, is dedicated to the Lord. You are preserved blameless, the Bible says, unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And undoubtedly, this is what is set forth in the ancient laver. It's a cleansing. It takes away all of the stains and spots of your life and allows the Word and the Holy Spirit of God to enter in and take control of your life. That laver in that tabernacle meant that every spot was taken from the garments of the priest. Are you following me? Because if there had been one blemish there, that priest would not have dared to enter the holy place. We read it earlier, didn't we? My brother, listen to me. If this means anything, it should mean everything to you. If the Spirit and the blood of Christ can take away one spot, then the Spirit and the blood of Christ can take away all spots. If the Spirit and the blood of Christ can keep you for one moment, the Spirit and the blood of Christ can keep you 1,000 years. Come on, shout amen. If the Spirit and the blood of Christ can give you a single spark of joy and enthusiasm, the Spirit and the blood of Jesus can fill you day by day. Now, I want you to suppose for just one moment that the priest had gone up into the holy place, and I want you to just suppose that the priest would have said, well, I'll just take off this one little stain from my garment today, and maybe tomorrow or next Sunday, I'll take off the other spots. What would have been the consequence of that? Think about it. If that priest would have dared to venture into the tabernacle with just one or two spots removed, what does God say about that? He said, let them wash themselves with water that they die not. Why are generations of people, including Christians, dying spiritually today? Because they refuse to wash all. We refuse to come clean completely before God. That single spot of sin on that priest would have been what you call a conductor that would receive the flash of divine anger from God, and he's dead on the spot. What does that mean? That means that the Holy Spirit of God requires of us and brings to us entire cleansing and great hindrance that is there that would try to keep that cleansing from coming is taken away by the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And the knowledge of the Word allows the hindrances in your life to be gone. But today it seems like we are afraid to dare to take God at His Word. If God said, be clean or die, take Him at His Word. If God said every promise belongs to you and you can have the very divine nature of God, take Him at His Word. Praise God. He's able and He's willing to touch you tonight. Yes, He is. In Exodus chapter 36, verse 25, it says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. You shall be clean. I believe that if we allow one spot of sin in our heart, that will be like one spot of mortification or gangrene that grows on your body. It'll kill you eventually. Are you hearing me? Let us come to the altar tonight and let's find our way to the laver of cleansing. We must get clean. We must get clean. I'm going to have to continue this on another Sunday because there's just so much information here. I can't touch it all in just 45, 50 minutes. But I want you to understand something. Exodus 36, 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. I don't know about you, but I want a cleansing tonight. I said, I want a cleansing tonight. And it's not a whole lot to expect from God. God wants you to expect this from Him. He said, I'll sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will sprinkle it on you. You can't clean yourself. You got to come to that laver. I'm going to ask you to stand with me for just a moment.
Every year. So that wraps 2 in the books for Mr. William Rodriguez in Praise Center Church in 5280 or Denver, Colorado. I love that. Okay, so when the Lord is working with you, it's his doing. Obviously, we can't clean ourselves. The best we do is mess stuff up, right? But here, go ahead and here's another one for you. This is the one the Lord gave me in Ezekiel 36. I will take you from among the nations. Verse 24. Gather you out of the countries and bring you to your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Yes, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. They're not burdensome, people. You can do this. He will do it. He will do it. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from your uncleanness. I will call you for the grain and multiply it, and I will bring no famine among you. I will multiply the fruit of the trees and increase your fields. Yes, so that you need never again to bear reproach or famine among the nations. Hallelujah. May you be richly blessed. In the name of the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, Son of the living God, may your personal consecration continue. May you seek him with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, because there's nothing more important. Above all, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Yeah. You're going to know your brethren, because they'll be able to say that with genuine sincerity. And once again, many thanks to the Lifeway worship team for the lead in and lead out music. Much love and respects to the Lifeway House in Uganda, and especially the Kowalya House in Uganda. You're so loved. We're out for now.